Some Real Cookie Math, Cher's favorite song, and was I right or wrong about telling someone to kick their child out of the bed? All this and more on today's How Did This Get Made mini episode. Hit the theme!
What's up, Jones? Shut up, I don't care. You know the reason why you want to hear. Sit down and enjoy your stay for another episode of How Did This Get Made mini episode.
What's up, people of Earth? How you doing? Welcome to 2021, the first official mini episode of 2021. And boy, oh boy, we have just jumped in to a new year in a way that we weren't expecting. Let's just say that, right? We jumped in. We're like, it's all going to be different. It's all going to be better. And it is, and it's not. And it's crazier, and it's better, and it's scarier, and it's safer. I don't know. We are in a weird time. I am in a crazy place right now. We are basically, an article in LA came out last day, do people say last day? Saying, if you leave your house, you are at risk for getting COVID. Right, because right now in LA, it's 1 in 5 people have COVID, which is bonkers. So anyway, that's where my head is in. And I'll let you know, I'm recording this after an insane what happened this week at the Capitol. I'm literally just left watching CNN or MSNBC. I'm not going to, tell you who I'm watching. I go back and forth. But I really just came off of watching a Clippers game, take my mind off of it, and I get back in. I'm falling back down that Twitter wormhole. Anyway, I'm Paul Scheer. How are you? Welcome to 2021. I'm excited to be here with you. A big shout out and thank you to everyone who has been listening to the show, saw our live shows, went and got them on VOD. As I explained, online, we are not going to ever be able to release A Night to Remember. Was that the one it was? I don't know. It was something with Vanessa Hudgens. The Night Before, because of some audio issues and the fact that Jessica Sinclair didn't plug in her microphone or turn on her recorder. Anyway, people, it's not a big deal. That's why we released the last episode of Burlesque, which if you have not listened to, check it out. It's really fun. We have about a half an hour of Jason, June, and I kind of talking about the 10 years of doing the show. But so many things. I want to say thank you to John Schreier for that awesome theme song. That was great. I'm going to tell you what we're going to be watching next week. Also, you're going to tell me what we missed, and we're going to go back in time. We're going to go to Burlesque. We're also going to do A Very Nutty Christmas. There might even be A Night to Remember, correction and omission in there if I am correct. But thank you to, Molly Reynolds and Cody Fisher for putting this all together. Let's do it. Enough of my yapping. I'm done. I'm out of it. By the way, I will say one thing. Let me yap about one thing. I have a Discord. And I have a Twitch page. I'm doing shows on Twitch every Thursday with Rob Hubel, my former buddy from Human Giant. We've done Children's Hospital together. We've worked together for years. We do a show on Thursdays, 5 to 7. Come check it out. Manzoukas has been on it. We talked about Wonder Woman last week. It is so much fun. And then we pop up and do different shows. Adam Pally and I do a show where we look at your tweets. And we're going to do like an NBA show, I think, coming up. It's going to be a blast. So check out what I'm doing on Twitch. It's just twitch.tv/Paul Scheer. And you don't have to be a member. It's nothing complicated. It's just like YouTube, but it's called Twitch. That's all. Anyway, again, enough of my yapping. Let's hear from you, because I know that you have problems in your life and your love and your job and parenting, whatever it is. I'm here to help you. I've said this before, and I mean it. I am a modern day Oprah. Even though Oprah is modern day, I am a more modern Oprah. I am more modern than Oprah. I've said it before. I'll say it again. All right, let's get into the Paul helpline.
Yeah. Help me. Feeling lonely. Feeling angry. I don't know what to do, but Paulie, he got the helpline. Uh-huh. You're gonna take time and leave you feeling fine. It's the helpline.
Thank you, Dave Tanner. Guys, loving these songs. These are great. Really great ones. All right. Like I said, I'm Paul Scheer. I'm here to help. Let's get into it. Let's hear from our friend, Brian.
Paul, this is Brian. Toaster or toaster oven? Go.
Love this question. And I go back and forth. Honestly, I go back and forth because what did I just buy right now? A toaster. But if I was to tell anyone what to do, I would say get a toaster oven because there's more you can do in the toaster oven, right? I feel like my bagels, if they're going to be fat and thick, put them in the toaster oven. I don't have to jam them into the toaster, right? I tried to go without either of these things. A toaster oven has been my go-to, but my kids eat these like Eggo waffles. So I bought a toaster because I was putting them in the oven every morning and I was like, this is just a waste of time. I'm going over there. I'm touching them, seeing where they're hot. So I conceded and got a toaster, which I've been loving, but I got to tell you, I miss my toaster oven. So long story short, toaster oven. All right. Oh, we got a follow-up from Kyle. I like this. All right. I like this. Kyle, what do you got?
Hey, Paul, this is Kyle in Texas, and I just heard a woman who called in to give some follow-up on some advice you gave. And so I thought I'd do the same thing. Back near the beginning of the pandemic, when everything was locked down, I called to ask you about my daughter who was constantly climbing into bed with my wife and I and how my wife didn't seem to mind that much, but I didn't like it. And you basically said, you know, that was like my wife and I's time and I needed to like draw hard line and really put my foot down. And, you know, to be honest, at the time I felt like I was kind of doing that, but it just was creating more conflict. And so, and finally, that got me also thinking, and I started to think, you know, the beginning of our marriage before we had kids, my wife really wanted me to come to bed with her a lot, like at night, and we were just going to be laying there watching TV or whatever. But I usually was up doing things like I write music or write plays or whatever I was doing, creating things, and wasn't always ready to go to bed yet, but she always really wanted me to. And I got to realize it, like she just likes having someone there when she's winding down at the end of the day. She likes being around me. She likes being around our daughters. And I'm now in my 40s. I don't stay up as late anymore. And I was like, you know what? I'll actually start going to bed a little earlier. And so I started doing that. And actually, eventually my wife just made the decision to enforce the bed thing with my daughter herself without me even making a big deal about it. And now my daughter's doing a really good job staying in her bed all night long. And we praised her and made a big deal about it. And I think it's helped. And which isn't to say your advice wasn't good. and it actually did help because it got me thinking about it in a little bit different way. So thanks, Paul.
You know what? No, I take it because sometimes people tell me my advice. I go, huh, that doesn't seem like something I would say. And it's because I'm going on my gut. And I think you're right. You know, you are describing something that I think is very similar to what my wife and I go through, which is, you know, going to bed early, you kind of create this time with your partner. And this is what I was saying, where it is your time. Now, I didn't know that you were coming to bed late, right? So I get the idea that like, well, if no one's in that part of the bed, then that can happen. But I also believe, and I still believe, that, you know, you got to lay down the law. And you did lay down the law. I will also add, this. I've heard and I've read, because my kids have been jumping into my bed a lot, that's a big thing that's been going on in the pandemic. It's like a safety net for the kids. So I think you did the best version. I think you merged all the advice. A firm line was drawn. You guys are happier in your bed. You're getting that time together. And it all worked out great. It worked out great. So like I said, you didn't lay down the law to her, but you did it in a way that kind of created this whole backwards pattern. And she did it. You did it with your mind, God damn it. I love it. Thank you, Kyle, for that follow-up. I want more follow-ups. I don't believe that I'm always right, but I feel like I put you on the right path, and I'm taking a win. I'm taking a win there. All right, next question up, Adam.
Hey, Paul, this is Adam in Washington, D.C. I was wondering if you could weigh in on what has become a heated debate within my household. My fiance seems to think it is acceptable to eat cold Chinese food. Well, I maintain this is objectively disgusting. With a congealed sauce maintaining the form of the carton, she believes this is perfectly normal. Love to hear your thoughts on the matter. Thanks.
Adam, I hope you're safe this week in D.C. All right. My gut is, yeah, it's fine to eat cold Chinese food, but what you described is disgusting, okay? Because I'm thinking lo mein, right? I'm thinking noodles with peanut sauce. I'm thinking like shrimp fried rice. You're thinking like General Tso's chicken? Absolutely good. But the way that you're describing the congealed sauce, I'm describing things that are, I mean, I've never heated up Chinese food. Honestly, I'm not like keeping Chinese food around that much longer, even though it's like pretty much in every 80s film. I think you have to keep the food that is going to stay. Sauteed string beans, keep it. General Tso's, if it's not totally sauced out, yeah, sure. I think cold is good. I believe I'm on your wife's side or your partner's side, whoever you're with, I'm on their side. But the way that you describe what they're eating, I'm on your side. So 50-50 split. Thank you, Adam. All right, people, that was great. If you have a question for me, you want to call me and tell me I did you right or I did you wrong, you can do that at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. 619-PAUL-ASK. All right. And if you are calling, or you want to just be a part of the show in a different way, you can send us original listener songs. You've heard these great songs that we've been playing. Just send it to us, you know, write it, record it, send it to howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com. The mini episodes is where we really seem to live in these songs. So mailbag or, well, not mailbag because we haven't opened up a mailbag in forever. Paul Helpline, Corrections and Omissions, theme song, whatever you want. Make it short and sweet, 30 seconds, 45 seconds. Don't stress on it. All right, we'll be right back after this. All right, people. Now, while you're preparing for next week and you don't even know what you're preparing for, I didn't want to even get into that because I want to put the final nail in the coffin of A Very Nutty Christmas. We never got to do a mini episode for that. So I want to talk about that. I also want to talk about A Night Before Christmas, even though that a lot of you have not heard that episode, nor will you ever, but I know a lot of you saw the live show, so we're going to get into that, and we're going to go back to burlesque, all these things I promised you, and now I'm just repeating them, but first, let's hit the theme. Thank you, Ian Paddington. I love that. I love that song. All right. So what have we done? We have culled through voicemails. We have looked through the message board posts on earwolf.com. By the way, I'm actually on my Discord that I talked about earlier. I have a How Did This Get Made area over there, and it's been fun. I'm actually more involved in that one just because sometimes the Earwolf boards suck ass. So check out my Discord and whatever. I don't make any money from my Discord, but I'm just more there. All right. We found the best observations, theories, and fact checks, and we're going to present them all here. So let's go to the boards first. Cameron H. Oh, how I've missed you. Happy 2021. Cameron writes, I think my biggest issue with the Mouse King was trying to suss out his business model. I mean, forget about cookies. This guy is apparently running a freight company that immediately puts the squeeze on its clients for extra cash. And then what? What exactly was his end game? I mean, she clearly didn't have the $5K he was demanding. Had Chip not intervened, what would have happened? I mean, he was hired to make a delivery and now he's just not going to do that? I mean, how is this company making any money, let alone any additional money earned through extortion? I mean, look, also, seeing how they only agreed to take the cookies to the base after being threatened by Chip, there's absolutely no way I would trust them to haul my freight. I mean, these guys are clearly criminals. And what's to stop them from dumping your wares a couple miles down the road or trying to fence that shit and pocketing the money for themselves? First of all, Cameron, I just want to say fencing Christmas cookies is a movie that we need to make. It's about a bunch of robbers that have cookies and they got to get them out because it's not like drugs. Cookies are going to go bad. You got to get these on the street at a good competitive price at a very tough time in the year when people are spending a lot of money. So great questions. I honestly and truthfully forgot that there was even an extortion subplot in this movie. But look, when someone threatens you with a sword, chances are you're going to do the job that you promised them because being chopped with a sword seems to be a brutal way to go. And I like to think that if there's one thing that these guys understand, it's like they don't want to get their head chopped off by Chip and his sword. Was it a real sword or was it a wooden sword? I think it was real. Okay. Brad loves Disney. Well, Brad, I love Disney. What do you got here? Nutcracker dolls originate from the late 17th century Germany, particularly the Ore Mountains. Decorative nutcracker dolls began popularized outside of Europe after the Second World War when numerous American soldiers stationed in Germany came home to the United States with German nutcrackers as souvenirs. The Nutcracker Ballet was originally produced in 1892 with a score by Tchaikovsky. It became popular in North America during the 1960s. The ballet's protagonist, Clara, shares her name with the aunt in A Nutty Christmas. That's Conchita Ferrell, who plays the aunt in Krampus and also is on Two and a Half Men. When Melissa Joan Hart has flashbacks to earlier scenes in the movie, they're not just random time wasters. She's reflecting on how the specific events of a ballet or the Nutcracker Ballet mirror her own experiences. Oh, I like that. And that's a real subtle thing for people who don't know the Nutcracker by heart. And I appreciate all the info that you gave me before that. He also writes, shouldn't he have cracked the nuts with his teeth? Yeah, I had a lot of problems with that. He should have cracked the nuts in a million different ways. Aaron Renee writes, I can't believe you didn't notice how many times she changed her pants. She would leave her house in jeans and a sweater, then get to the bakery and change into weird yoga pants. Then she would change into different pants to sit on our couch and work on spreadsheets. 3 pants a day? She might be able to save some money on the laundry soap and her water bill if she just wore the yoga pants from the get-go. Aaron Renee is someone who has been in the pandemic and wearing very few outfits. I agree. She don't need no 3 pants. I mean, what is she doing? She's not going out. Who's she impressing on that car ride to work in those jeans? She's not even living in the middle of town. She's not even walking to work. She's driving. All right, let's go to the phones.
Hi, Paul. This is Rachel in Las Vegas. I just wanted to call to talk about June's concern that 10 dozen eggs would not be enough for 15,000 cookies. I work in a small family-owned bakery in Las Vegas. We make alcohol-infused cookies, and we just recently had an order for 6,000 cookies from a large company, I won't say which one, and it took us 125 dozen eggs to make 6,000 cookies. So she would be just a little short unless she was making some eggless cookies. That would be good for Jason. But I just wanted to let you guys know that, no, 10 dozen eggs would for sure not be enough for 15,000 cookies. Love the show. Been listening for a long time. I listen every time I'm making cookies. Thanks, guys.
Oh, my God. That is real cookie math, and I love it. I love that we got some real cookie math. You know, I was thinking about this because I was making my eggnog, and I have to use a dozen eggs for my eggnog. And I was like, my God, that cookie math is off. And I'm so happy. I mean, it's not cookies, but eggs are not like, we're using them. We're using them when we're cooking. All right. Anyway, I mean, and am I cooking with eggnog or am I making a drink? Isn't making a drink kind of like cooking? I guess someone would tell me I'm wrong, but we'll see. Sean, what do you got?
Paul, June, Jason, this is Sean, long time, first time. And I am a member of your United States Army. I have a couple of things. First of all, furlough is a British or Canadian military term for what we call leave. So my suggestion is that perhaps this gentleman is a British spy, perhaps a Canadian spy. Can't trust those maple bastards. Second, Troops in Germany. Listen, I think it was Jeff St. Clair questioned why we have troops in Germany. It's an important part of the NATO alliance, friends. If you want to counter Russian aggression in Ukraine and elsewhere, we need those men and women in green hanging out there in Germany, having a fantastic time. Third, June, offense taken. I'll have you know, I've been an infantryman for, 10 years, over 10 years. I've got combat deployments. I've been blown up real good. I've been wounded in combat. I've been to Ranger School. And listen, sleepy time tea is an important part of my recovery routine. It helps me get an adequate amount of rest so I can get back to, you know, working hard and defending the nation the next day. So, offense taken. Have a good day.
First of all, thank you for your service. That is awesome that you are protecting our country and that you are serving us some cold, hard facts. If you've not followed this drama, June has taken a lot of hits about her opinions on tea. And you know what? We can all have opinions. June's is one that she does not like it. And you know, sleepy time tea, I cannot necessarily do because when I was a kid, I had it right before I got incredibly sick. That and wild turkey, the thought of it makes me go, ugh. But you know what? I like tea. And then finally, thank you for explaining furlough. It was odd because it sounded like a prison thing. And then we kind of put it all together. But you know what? I don't trust those, what'd you call them? The Reds? I don't know. I don't trust those Reds. That's what I'm calling the Canadians. I love the Canadians. All right. That was our last live show, our last real live show. Okay. So let's go into Jen in Canada. Oh, look at that. Perfect. Perfect.
Hi, Paul. This is Jen calling. I just wanted to call to point something out about the episode during A Very Nutty Christmas where Jason mentions that to him, this sort of bad-looking movie looks to him like it's filmed in Canada. In fact, was filmed in Connecticut. Then, during the episode about The Night Before Christmas, or A Night Before Christmas, with Vanessa Hudgens, there's lots of talk about how beautiful that is, but no one cares to mention that that was filmed primarily in Ontario. So, Jason, zero, and Canada, probably a million? Anyway, I'm Canadian, but that has nothing to do with it. Bye.
I appreciate that. Jason is really causing a war with Canada as I caused a war with my fellow Americans in Pittsburgh. I think oftentimes what Jason is referring to, and I can't speak for him, but I will speak around his point of view, which is they sometimes try to make Canada everything to every movie. And it's like, it doesn't quite look right. It's like, it's not New York. It's not this, like, just be Canada, but like, don't be the fake city. You know, and that's what I think we're both responding to. We feel that way. By the way, and it looks sometimes really good. Like Long Shot was shot primarily in Canada. I don't think you can tell. Maybe because it's more European. I don't know. But our Canadian question brings us into a couple of questions about A Night Before Christmas. So let's get into that.
Hi, Paul. This is Aaron from Newton, Massachusetts. My correction omission, I guess, is about the Princess Switch and where that all fits in with The Night Before Christmas. So the Princess Switch actually takes place in Montanaro, and they have a crossover in the second movie with the Christmas Prince, which is in Eldovia, which is where the stupid little pine cone ornaments are from. So that pretty much confirms that all of these are in the same universe. So my question is, how many Vanessa Hudgenses are there? Is this like an Orphan Black situation? Because there are now three in the Princess Switch universe and now another one in Random, Ohio. So how many Vanessa Hudgenses do we think there are, and what other movies do we think they're going to appear in? All right. Thanks. Love the podcast. Bye.
I'm glad you asked this. You know, obviously you set up what the world is and the MCU of the N MCU, the Netflix Cinematic Universe, but I should say the NCCU, the Netflix Christmas Cinematic Universe. Here's what I think. I think the Netflix Christmas Cinematic Universe is under the ruling of a lazy god. And why do I mean that? Because, I got a better idea. It's under the ruling of a god who looks like Vanessa Hudgens, because they say that God has created man in his own image, his, her, they image. And I believe this god looks like Vanessa Hudgens and has created people to look like him, her, they. And that's what I think is happening. I love it. That is the way I'm going. And I'm excited to see an Oh God, You Devil kind of movie with Vanessa Hudgens as God and the devil. Oh, it'd be so great. Let's go to Ashley in Kentucky.
Hi, Paul. This is Ashley in Kentucky. I don't know if I'm a little late to do a correction of mission for a night before Christmas or whatever it's called, but I don't do social media really, so I don't keep up. But anyway, he is in England in 1330, and she is in America in 2019. And one huge thing that could be a problem for their relationship is the fact that he would not be speaking modern English. He would be speaking Middle English, which, if you've ever looked at the Canterbury Tales, is not anywhere similar to modern English. You'd maybe be able to pick out a few words and phrases. But unless this magic thing that they're doing makes him speak modern English or her speak Middle English, I don't think they'd even be able to speak to each other. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Yes. Thank you very much. And look, I know that that's movies and whatever, but we just make it so easy. We make it so easy. And I guess it would be confoundingly stupid. Have we ever made a real time travel movie where people are fucking freaked out? I mean, the only way I can think about it is like Bill and Ted with Napoleon. Napoleon never speaks English. He likes water slides, but he's scared of everything. And I feel like Bill and Ted did it the best. I think they did it the best. But let's go back to the boards here for some 10-year-old corrections and omissions. Hillary says, I'm so excited you all re-aired the burlesque episode because it gives me an excuse to send along this bright spot from 2020. I worked on the Biden campaign in the late summer and fall, and an aspect of the presidential campaigns is that celebrities will visit and give pep talks to the team. Cher did quite a bit of campaigning for Biden, especially in the Nevada, Las Vegas area. So naturally, she did a Zoom visit with the entire staff right before the election as one of these pump-up calls. After she was introduced and said a brief hello, she did a Q&A with the staff, and someone asked her what her favorite song that she ever performed was. And she paused for a moment, not able to think of anything, and then lit up and said, you guessed it, You Haven't Seen the Last of Me from Burlesque. After saying it, she then said, oh, no one ever saw that, though. Holy shit. Hillary, we did this and it worked for you. Thank you, Hillary, for that lovely remembrance. SciCasey 2.0 writes, obviously, there will be no corrections and omissions for a 10-year-old episode. Wrong! But since I just watched Burlesque this week, I feel compelled to chime in. I don't think it's correct that the dance numbers stop being burlesque style after Christina Aguilera starts singing at the club. As Jason claims in the episode, her first two dance numbers are definitely in the burlesque style. I speak from experience because my wife used to do burlesque dancing as a hobby, so I attended many a show while we were dating, although not for $50 a head. I have to give the movie some credit for having Christina do some actual old-timey numbers, too. The plot is nonsense, and the male love interest is useless, but I did enjoy the musical numbers here. So what are you saying? He's like, I don't think it's correct that the dance numbers stop being... Okay, all right. So you're saying that they don't stop. All right, that's fine. Sai, I take it. I didn't really get your point, but I think I do. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? We are looking for a winner, aren't we? And everyone had so many great things to say, but I want to give it up to the person who actually lived the story of Melissa Joan Hart, and that is our cookie baker. That is right. Rachel in Las Vegas with her alcoholic cookies. I want to know how that works. Thank you for giving us the true cookie math. You are our winner.
People of Earth. You win nothing.
And that song is by Garrett Parker. As always, you win nothing, but you hold a place in my heart and in my taste buds because of those delicious cookies. All right, we'll be right back after this commercial break. All right, we have spent a lot of time, or I have spent a lot of time just yapping around here. No one has asked me about what am I up to, what am I watching, what am I doing, and I got to tell you, it is now time for my pick of the week.
This isn't about you and what you think you want to see. It's about Paul's pick of the week.
Thank you, Honest Jams. Honest Jams coming through. All right. What do I want to tell you all about? I mean, it's been tricky, right? Because I probably watched a lot of the same stuff that you all watched. And I actually didn't even get to watch that much because I've been playing my new NBA 2K. Honestly, I have just been crashing so hard at night. But I have to say, the thing that I've been most fascinated by lately is the flight attendant. OMG, I love this show. Okay, first of all, everyone is shitting on HBO Max. HBO Max, as far as I'm concerned, has got the best shit. You got Alan Partridge on there. How can you get mad at that? You got Adult Swim on there. You got like old weird commercials that I made for Adult Swim. NTSF is yet to pop up on there. It will. I know it will. You got Wonder Woman 84. I mean, I could watch that for days. You got Search Party. Amazing. But fucking Flight Attendant, Kelly Cuoco. Is that how you pronounce her name? I don't know. Not a fan. Not like seeking, I guess I should say, not seeking out Cuoco content. But heard enough about it. In Greg Berlanti clearly has figured out television in a way that America loves. This show is fun as hell. It's got like everything that you like from shows like You, but everything that you also like from things like a Lifetime movie. It's just a fucking blast. I love it so much. I'm not done with it yet, but all thumbs up. Thumbs up from me. I love it. I love it. Love it. And also, if you're a Clippers fan, get on this Clipper Vision app. If you have not got the app, it's amazing. It's a great way to watch the games. Super, super fun. Anything I want to plug? Not really. We got everything. Big Mouth is on Netflix. That's great. My Marvel documentary, 616, that is also on Disney Plus. You can watch that there. It's called Lost and Found. You can also watch this movie I did with Joe Manganiello called Arch Enemy. I'm tatted up. I have a crazy scene in the film. And that's it. Join me on Twitch. It's super fun. Join me on that Discord. It's called Hanging with Paul Scheer. And I don't know how I could... I'll put it up. I'll put it up in the things. Anyway, but now that we got all this out of the way, let's talk about next week's movie. We went from Nutcrackers, Knights, and Cher to Gnomes. That's right. I'm talking about a movie called Upworld, or it's a movie called A Gnome Named Norm. That's right, two different names. It's on Amazon Prime. Upworld, or A Gnome Named Norm, starring Anthony Michael Hall. IMDb describes it as a Los Angeles police detective partners up with a talking gnome in order to bring down the head of a crime ring. Oh, you're excited for this. I'm excited for it. Let's listen to the trailer.
He's an LA cop. He's a gnome. Right, a gnome. He's hot on the trail of $1 million. He's after
Lumen!
Right. Meet Gallagher and Gnorm. Two guys with nothing in common.
Giant outbox.
Well, almost nothing.
Take it easy, will you? You gotta concentrate.
They've got to work together and get it together before everything blows apart. Upworld. Gnormal, it's Gnot.
You can watch Upworld, A Gnome Named Norm on Tubi for free, or on iTunes or Vudu or YouTube for $3.99, I watch it on Amazon Prime. It was there. Check your local public libraries, too, where you can probably find movies for free, but they probably will judge you for watching Upworld or A Gnome Named Norm, whatever you can find it as. And that is it, people. We are done. A big thank you to everyone who helps put this together. I already said Molly Reynolds. I already said Cody Fisher. I want to give a shout-out to Devin, who, by the way, I plugged his whole Spotify album, which is amazing. So I'm going to plug it again here. It is The Beginner's Guide to Birds. It's great. It's a bunch of songs that he recorded. He's our engineer here. He's amazing. He's also on Comedy Bang Bang. They recorded from 2003 to 2018. It's a 52-track box set collection of these self-recorded pop tunes. You will love it. It reminded me of XTC. I'm still kind of getting through them. And if you want to get it on Spotify, you can, but you can also get it on Bandcamp. And when you do that, all the proceeds are going to charities that help kids make music. Honestly, at the end of the day, that's what it is. And more. And it's been awesome. So this is really, really good. Like I said, that these the monies will go to Girls Rock Chicago and She Rock in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Two great orgs supporting girls, women, and trans and non-binary musicians writing their own tunes in the cities where he wrote these. You want to follow him? You can check him out on and Twitter at BaffleGabs, BaffleGabs. That is all that we have in store for you today. Remember to rate and review the show. It helps. It helps. Do that. If you've never done it, do it. Visit us in all the social places, wherever you'd like to be social. And sign up for our archives on the brand new Stitcher Premium app. By the way, it was so funny. I saw today during the riot, like Stitcher, I guess, had a timed tweet going up and it was like, hey, the Stitcher app is brand new. It actually is brand new and it's pretty great. You can use the code BONKERS to get a free month on us. You can listen to old episodes, new episodes, no commercials. And I said thank you to everybody, but I didn't say thank you to July, whose ears do so much work. You can't even believe it. Thank you, everybody at Earwolf. And we'll see you next week for A Gnome Named Norm.